You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So at the heart of Christian theology lies the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith alone, a foundational belief that underscores the core tenets of the Christian faith. Central to its doctrines is the conviction that salvation is a gift freely offered by God, not earned through human efforts or merit. Instead, it is received by placing faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, acknowledging Him, His redemptive work on the cross and resurrection from the dead. We are joined on the line by my elder Jonathan Yamba, who's going to be helping us, you know, as we understand the role of faith in salvation. And yeah, in today's one, I'll tell you what it was. Anyway, Mdala, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am good, Elder. I hope that you are well.
We are very well. Very, very well.
Indeed. Mdala, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer before we start?
Shall we pray? Our loving and living God in the heavens most high, this morning we want to honor your holy name for the privilege of prayer. We thank you because, Lord, you are able to read the very intents of our hearts. We want to thank you that, Lord, you have given us a privilege of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. We pray, O Lord, now, even as we go into this conversation, you must increase and we decrease. Is our asking in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. We're speaking about all things, you know, faith, salvation, being doers. It's a lot that we're discussing about, you know, this week. But to kick it off, Mdala, I mean, what is the Christian doctrine of salvation by grace through faith alone? You know, and why is it considered central to Christian theology?
Well, that is it's a loaded question. Mm. Now, you see, from an Adventist perspective, we have been given to preach the everlasting gospel as recorded in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 to 12. Mm. Now, this is understood to be God's final appeal. And the everlasting gospel as an expression entails that this gospel is for eternity. It cannot change, okay? Now, why I'm coming from there is that God's divine purpose is rooted in his very love. And also when we understand this gospel, that this gospel is to bring fallen humanity to himself through Jesus Christ, we will now understand what Paul is talking about in what he has written. Mm-hmm. He is saying, for by grace we have been saved through faith.
Yes.
And this is not from ourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one should do what? Should boast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you see that central to our salvation is the life of Christ Jesus himself. Okay? So the Bible goes on to tell us, salvation is not found in no other name except the name of Jesus. You remember in Acts chapter 4 verse 12? I think it says that Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under the earth given to men by which they must be saved. So we as Adventists perceive this understanding that we are heirs of salvation,
yes,
and we have been saved because of Christ Jesus. So the question of how central it is, that last week in our study, we were talking about sola scriptura,
okay,
and sola gratia, and so on, those just principles that it's the Bible and the Bible alone.
Yes.
But then we also understand that it is by grace and grace alone, through faith, that we have what? That we have been saved. Now, it's fundamental for us to understand this teaching. In fact, Romans 3 verse 21 says that, but now a righteousness from who? From God, apart from the law, has been made known to which the law, and the prophets testify.
Mm-hmm.
It is essential, therefore, for us to carefully understand that our salvation, our justification, we are only saved by faith in Christ and Him alone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how central it is. We can't, of course, when you look at the role that the law will play in our lives, the truth of the matter is that God has revealed Himself. Even in the Old Testament, you see how God reveals Himself with His righteousness. But when it comes to our salvation, it's very clear that we of ourselves as human beings are not righteous. David, we hear him pleading, "Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before God." So while God is righteous, David in First Chronicles chapter 6 verse 36 declares and says that there is no one who is what? Who is righteous. There is no one who does not sin. That is what he is saying.
Yeah.
Okay. And Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 20 also repeats the theme. There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins.
Hmm.
With that, therefore, it becomes important to understand that we, as human beings, the question that we want to address is, how then can a human being who is not righteous be called righteous? How can we assert to say we are righteous people? Okay, so this is what now comes in. Other people from other religious beliefs, I have found somebody when we were doing to door just 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
who was saying, no, he has a problem with Christianity because okay. how can we be made righteous by the death of another man?
Mm.
He is right. Because even the law, I don't know about the law of South Africa or other countries or Kenya or Uganda,
mm.
but the law I know does not permit that if my son has committed a crime, I can go and say, kill me instead of my son, or
True.
Let me go to prison in the stead of my son. But this is not what Jesus did, okay?
Mm.
He did not say, let me... No, 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 no. We see in the life of Jesus, he takes upon the life of human, incorporate humanity.
Mm.
Jesus Christ is not dying on our behalf, but he's dying as man. He is numbered amongst sinners. If we look at it from this perspective, we're trying to decode the aspect that how can a man be justified? How can a man be justified before God?
Hmm.
Okay, that is why the Bible says that. You remember Abraham believed the Lord. And because Abraham believed the Lord,
hmm.
the Bible says in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, he was accounted to be righteous.
Yes.
So this aspect is credited not because of what we have done. I hear Job, I think somewhere the Bible, it must be Job chapter 40 verse 8. The Bible says Job was a blameless man, an upright man, a man who feared God and shunned evil. But Job himself in chapter 40 verse 8, he says, would you discredit my justice and righteous God? And it says, would you condemn me to justify yourself? Okay. So before the holy God, Job recognized that he was a sinful man and that his life was full of sin. So the point that we are belaboring to make is that when we contrast the righteousness of God, the gospel we are to preach is found in the fact that we as human beings are sinners to the core. We are sinners to the core, but Christ is righteous, and therefore in him we find our salvation.
Mm. So, looking at that, Dalawami, we are saved by grace and not by works. Does that mean that our works do not count at all?
Well, we are saved by grace because we ourselves, we cannot acquit ourselves or justify our guilt. That's what Exodus chapter 23 verse 7 says. So if my works can acquit me of my guilt, then I will ride on and do them. Mm. Because then before God, I can say I loved people, I helped, and by that, I can be acquitted. Ah. But no, sir. Mm. You remember that songwriter who says that it's not the labors of my hands that can fulfill the Lord's demand.
Mm.
In that song, Amazing Grace.
Mm.
Yes, there are no amount of work that we can do, but it is in the perfect life of Christ's obedience to God's will, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, that God has made a provision of atonement for all human sin. That's the only way we can get acquitted of our sins. In the perfect life of Christ's obedience, his suffering and death on the cross, and we having faith in him, when we accept this atonement for our lives, then we have eternal life. That is what John 3:16 says, isn't it?
Mm.
That whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That is what makes salvation through Christ alone central to our understanding as Adventists.
Mm. So looking at, you know, Dalawame, looking at Jesus Christ, how does faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior play a pivotal role in the Christian understanding of salvation? And what distinguishes this belief from other religions and philosophical perspectives?
So the point is that when we think about, you see, in Hebrews, we are told that the blood of bulls pointing to Christ.
Mm.
We need to understand that central to our salvation, central to our salvation is the life of Christ.
Mm.
Now, the blood of Christ was shed to atone for sin and to cleanse the sinners. And we must all the time endeavor to get hold of the merits of the blood and believe that on a daily basis through the life of Christ in us, we will now be able to grow. It becomes central to my life as a Christian because it is not what I do, but what Christ has done.
Mm.
Now, when I dwell in Christ in perfect obedience, you will then see me living with Christ as a beacon of my life. My experience every day is an experience of being in Christ. That is why you hear Paul saying, there is therefore no condemnation to him who is in Christ Jesus. Faith in Christ is now, when God looks at us, he looks at us being in Christ before God. We are justified.
Mm.
And God's act, he then declares us as repentant sinners justified, and he calls us righteous. So you can see, therefore, that from that perspective, being in Christ is seen as the opposite of condemnation.
Mm.
So when as a believer, I am in Christ, I live, I think, I dwell, I do things in Christ, it becomes the basis for me. Not that the law, obedience or observance of the law becomes irrelevant. No, but Christ's obedience and his sinless life is the basis for us being saved.
So how does now the doctrine of salvation by grace, Dala, through faith alone, relate to other foundational Christian doctrines, such as the deity of Christ, the authority of Scripture, and the nature of God and love?
And love. Mm. So when we fully appreciate and grasp the love that God has for each one of us in sending Christ to die for us, the deity of Christ has been questioned because of the fact that can God die?
Hmm.
Those questions now begin to pop up.
Hmm.
How is it that God would be locked up in the womb for 9 months?
Hmm.
Okay, so we get back to the Bible. So when we have understood that it is sola scriptura.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that in order for us to get a full revelation of God, we depend on the Bible. If it is in the Bible, I believe it. If I will add any book, like now the Spirit of Prophecy, it is because it is shedding more light to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So we then begin to appreciate that Christ is the third person of the Godhead, the doctrine of Trinity. Because we want to fully understand the doctrine of our salvation, all these other doctrine become easy. Have you seen people who, I have studied with some people from some religious groups,
mm-hmm.
who 10 years ago would not want you to talk to them about Jesus. They said, no way. There's no way the Son and the Father can be the same. And it would be a topical issue, and you would argue on and on. But now, amazingly, they have shifted and changed goalposts, and they will tell you about Jesus, because there are other doctrinal issues on you in your faith that you cannot hold on to if you have not appreciated the doctrine of Christ. So in that perspective, when you have read line upon line, as the character of God and his being in different ways, to an extent where we then are able to appreciate his deity, and it will help us and enhance our understanding of him from using other aspects that we want to follow through.
Mdala, I want us now to quickly move on to talk about, you know, faith and works. Faith and works,
okay.
You know, yes, I want us to look at that. How does now the scripture teach about the relationship between faith and works? And how do they emphasize the importance of both in a Christian life? Because, you know, now we've just spoken that, you know, we are saved by grace. And others are like, I don't need to do works, you know. But do works have anything to do, you know, with us? But how do the two work together? And what does scripture say?
So scripture is harmonious.
Mm.
We are saved through faith. We are saved by grace. And because we are saved by God, our activities are now no longer of darkness. We are now in the light. So our works are going to be works that are led by God and in the light.
Mm.
So faith without works is dead. Because our faith in Christ, Christ is he's action-oriented. He is a loving God. So because God is love, when he sees people who are sick, the Bible says, is filled with compassion. So how possible is it that we who are in Christ, saved by Christ, and are called by his name, we can see sick people and we are not moved? Okay? Someone described the compassion that he felt, and it really, really has touched me to the core. That when the Bible says Christ is, he felt compassion, it means the way a mother feels when a child, when their baby cries, when their baby is in pain. I asked my wife, what is this? My wife told me there is some pain that in the stomach. It feels like you're having your contractions all over again. And so this scholar suggests that the same way a mother feels, that's how Christ feels when he sees his children in trouble, when he sees his children sick. Now, imagine that feeling, and you as a child of God, you can see God, Christ feels that way, but you feel nothing. That is exactly how empty a Christian life is without works. Because these works are not of our own. It is Christ who wrought these works in us. If we have him, these works will come naturally. So we don't start by learning these works. These works will come out of us naturally, because they go with what we have gone into. If you have Christ, he comes with certain feeling. He comes with certain perspectives. Mm. So it is a natural response. No wonder elsewhere, Ellen White says, the very first impulse of a born-again Christian is missionary. So as a child of God, there is an impulse that is expected of you. The moment you are born again, you cannot be taught works of righteousness. You can't be taught how to be compassionate. You don't have to go to a university to go and learn how to care, how to be kind, how to be patient with the erring brethren. No. If you are having a tough time to know how to respond the Christ way, is it not obvious that Christ is not in you? Because nobody needs to teach you how to behave when you see a person who is suffering. No, sir. That it was dealt with. Such things, we learned them in kindergarten when we were accepting Jesus as our personal savior. Then he did something in the heart, so much so that the law now is not called the schoolmaster anymore.
Yeah.
But it is Christ who is the schoolmaster. Mm. He's the one who teaches us. We can't master how to feel. But no, when I see somebody, how am I going to feel? No, sir. We are living beings.
Mm.
We are living beings. So faith without works is dead.
Mdalawami, when we're looking at the Bible now, you know, which individuals in the Bible whose faith was evidenced by their works, you know, and what lessons can we learn from their examples?
Well, there are so many people whose lives were shown by works. I can tell you my list is long. My favorite old time has been Joseph. When you go to Hebrews 11, verse 22, the Bible says, by faith, Joseph spoke of the departing, and then he spoke of his bones. Time fails me. I could have told you this sweet story. Joseph is recorded in Hebrews chapter 11, which is like the graveyard for men of faith. Not because he ran away from Mrs. Potiphar. I expected God to have said the works that Joseph did that are justifying him are the works that he ran away from Mrs. Potiphar. No, sir. It is because Joseph had faith that the children of Israel, while they were in captivity, they were going to be released 400 years to come. And he told them, carry my bones with you. So I want you to think about it this way. In Genesis 50, when Joseph is dying, he tells them, God will take you out of this bondage. He's the one who went there first. But he is speaking prophetically that after 400 years, God will, there will be an exodus. He will take you to the promised land. But when he does so, carry with you my bones. When you go to Joshua, they are burying Joseph's bones. In other words, their entire life in Egypt, children who were born would ask, what is in here, grandpa? The grandfather would say, these are the bones of Joseph. The bones of Joseph stood for a testimony of faith in God. When you go to look at the works of people like Dorcas, we celebrate them because Dorcas had to be raised from the dead because of her godly works. People mourned. The two cities came together. Acts chapter 9 says that they were mourning because of her good works. So you find Joseph's works of faith, his faith and his God that he believes in, 400 years it is stretching. And we have works that we see in the life of Dorcas. Practical welfare ministry. So I want to challenge ourselves here that as Christians, we should not be so heavenly minded. I heard somebody say that we should not be so heavenly minded until we are of no good use here on earth. We need to reach out. There are people who are suffering, and it is within our reach. We can bathe them. We can clean them so that through our works, they will be able to glorify God. There are many people whose faith speaks to us today. Daniel, a statesman. They could not find anything to pin him down on. His only weakness was his prayer life. So there are many characters whose faith is so strong it can stop to us and encourage us. If we're just going to pick out people of charity and we run with it, we're going to think that, oh, by me. In fact, there is another gospel that is being brewed everywhere, that in fact you don't need to bring the tithe at church. You will find somebody who is suffering along the road.
Give
it to them. Amen. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? God said, bring where? In the storehouse. So that from the storehouse we are going to provide. We're going to so you cannot begin to think that by you giving somebody who is suffering on the street that way you are going to end your salvation. No, we obey God in what He has done because He has made provision and how we are able to reach out.
So, Mdalawami, as we wrap up today's conversation now, in what ways do good works flow naturally from genuine faith? And how do they serve as a visible expression of one's love for God and others?
You remember that songwriter who says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look fully in His wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace." That is very profound. When we look in the face of Jesus, when we look at Him, His love, and His, when we make Christ's life our daily study, we will be amazed how our lives will be ordered. One of my old favorite texts says that in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation unto all men hath appeared unto all men." Now, this grace who is Jesus Christ, He hath appeared unto all men. He bringeth salvation. The Bible goes on and says, teaching us to say no to ungodliness and to say yes to righteous living. I'm paraphrasing. Two things will happen when we look in the face of Jesus. What will happen, number one, is that He will teach us to say no to ungodliness. The things of darkness we cannot do. We will find ourselves naturally with the places we loved, we don't love anymore. If someone is struggling, he was a drug addict, you don't need to go to rehab. Mm-hmm. You will just have no more desire for drugs. I am not speaking that don't go to rehab. I am not discouraging, but I'm telling you that the natural propensity of what we come out of you responding to God is that what you said, what you loved, you love no more. They will ask you, but what is going on? Why are you not interested in it? You say, thanks to Calvary, I am not the man that I used to be anymore. They will when they see what you used to be, but thanks to Calvary. It goes on to say He will teach us now to say yes to godly living. We will hang out in the right place. We will hang out with the right people. Others will want to say, you are keeping the Sabbath. That is legalism. But for us, we will not be Sabbath yoked. We will not be Sabbath burdened. We will be Sabbath blessed because the holy hours, we will keep them in holy convocation with Jesus. So you can see that every other aspect of the law, we will not be taught to say, okay, now where has the sun reached? Has the sun set for me to do? Had it not been the Sabbath, we would have transacted. No, sir. We will wholeheartedly live out our lives in response to the gift of salvation from Jesus. So the central aspect of that will control our activities and our lives is just looking fully in the wonderful face of Jesus. We will never be the same.
Indeed. Mdala, please do pray for us so that we may understand, you know, this concept that, yes, we do need to do the works, but we are not saved by them. If you can please pray for us, Mpundisi.
Loving and living God in heaven above, if only there was a shortcut to be saved. Father, Adam tried right up. Loving Father, we want to ask and pray that may we in you be lost that our will be lost in thine. That, Lord God of glory, by you walking with us, we will not walk in darkness, but we'll walk in the light. Father, there are many people who are suffering. We have not paid attention to them, like the Samaritan, like the old Jericho story we read. Many rushed even for religious activities, neglecting those who are suffering because, Lord, of your absence in their lives. Father, today there is so much around us, the poor around us. There is so much that there are people who are hurting psychologically. They need our support. Some of them, we could have even disciplined them as a church for erring. And yet all these, Lord, we have not shown love to them because our love is mechanical. But when you are in our lives, our works of God, we will not need a manual to learn what to do. But you, Jesus, will live out your life in us until to some old lady, a boy will ask, Mommy, are you Jesus's wife? To some man, the children are going to ask, Uncle, are you Christ himself? Lord, it is actually said in the spirit of prophecy that until the image of Christ is fully reflected in we who claim to be Christian, then only then will the end come. So I ask and pray that may you bless the dear listeners and my dear sister, that we will open our hearts for you to come and fill us up to an extent that, Lord, your love will overflow and the world will know that Jesus indeed is a resident in our hearts. Thank you very much for the privilege and time you give to us. Bless us all this and many messages we ask in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mdala, thank you so much. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Amen. Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.